translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. The Lord then appeared as the Kapila incarnation, being the son of the Prajapati Brahmana Kadama and his wife Devahuti, along with 9 other women sisters. He spoke to his mother about the self-realization by which in that very lifetime she became fully cleansed of the mud of material modes and thereby achieved liberation, the path of Kapila. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The instructions of Lord Kapila to Mother Devahuti are fully described in the third canto, chapters 25 to 32 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone who follows the instructions can achieve the same liberation obtained by Devahuti. The Lord spoke Bhagavad Gita and thereby Arjuna achieved self-realization. And even today, anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can also attain the same benefit of Sri Arjuna. The scriptures are meant for this purpose. Foolish and intelligent persons make their own interpretation by imagination and thus mislead their followers, causing them to remain in dungeons of material existence. However, simply by following the instructions imparted by Lord Krishna or Lord Kapila, one can obtain the highest benefit even today. The word Atmagatim is significant in the sense of perfect knowledge of the Supreme. One should not be satisfied simply by knowing the qualitative equality of the Lord and the living entity. One should not be satisfied simply by knowing the qualitative equality of the Lord and the living being. Okay. One should know the Lord as much as He can be known by our limited knowledge. It is impossible for the Lord to be known perfectly as He is, even by such liberated persons as Shiva and Brahma. So what to speak of other demigods or men in this world? Still, by following the principles of the great devotees and the instructions available in the scriptures, one can know to a considerable extent the features of the Lord. His Lordship Kapila, the incarnation of the Lord, instructed his mother fully about the personal form of the Lord, and thereby she realized the personal form of the Lord and was able to achieve a place in the Vaikuntha Loka where Lord Kapila predominates. Every incarnation of Lord has his own abode in the spiritual sky. Therefore, Lord Kapila also has his separate Vaikuntha planet. The spiritual sky is not void. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and each of them, the Lord, by his innumerable expansions, predominates. And the pure devotees who are there also live in the same style as the Lord and in his eternal associates. When the Lord descends personally or by his personal primary expansion, such incarnations are called Amsa, Kala, Guna, Yuga, and Manvantara incarnations. And when the Lord descend by the order of the Lord, such incarnations are called Shaktivesha incarnations. But in all cases, all the incarnations are supported by the invaluable statements of the authorized scriptures and not by any imagination of some self-interested propagandists. Such incarnations of the Lord in either of the above categories always declare the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the ultimate truth. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Truth is just a process of negation of the form of the Lord from the mundane conception of the Supreme Truth. The living entities by their very constitution are spiritual, as good as the Lord, and the only difference between them is the Lord is always supreme, pure, whereas the contamination by the modes of material nature, without the contamination of the modes of material nature, whereas the living entities are apt to be contaminated by association with the material modes of goodness, passion, ignorance. This contamination by the material modes can be washed off completely by knowledge, renunciation and devotion service. Devotion service to the Lord is the ultimate issue. Therefore, those who are directly engaged in devotion service to the Lord not only acquire the necessary qualification, necessary knowledge in spiritual science, but also attain detachment from material contamination and are promoted to the kingdom of God by complete liberation, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. 14:26. Mam cha yo vibhicharena bhakti yogena servite saguna samate tena brahma bhuya kalpate. Even in the non-liberated stage, a living entity can be directly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, or his planetary expansions like Rama and Narasimha. Thus, with the proportionate improvement of such transcendental devotion service, the devotee makes definite progress towards Brahma Gatim or Atma Gatim, ultimately attains Kapila Gatim or the abode of the Lord without difficulty. The antiseptic potency of devotion service to the Lord is so great that it can neutralize the material infection even in the present life of a devotee. A devotee does not need to wait for his next birth for complete liberation. Narayana namaskritaya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayat mudirayat nasta presu badresu nityam bhagavate sevayam bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati nashtaki. So Lord Kapila appeared in Satyug, and I think in Satyug people are doing Ashtanga Yoga, but within Lord Kapila's teachings, he teaches a line of pure devotional service. Lord Kapila taught the Sankhya philosophy, how to analyze the material elements in 25 different ways. And the 25th one is soul, and 26 is super soul. Also, Lord Kapila explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, devotion service in different categories and modes of nature. So, devotion is mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. So, a person in the mode of ignorance may be arrogant, he may not be good behaved, but he's still inclined to serve Krishna in his own way. There was an instance here. One time it happened. One person was getting money from not a good source. And Dhaibhadev was doing pujari service at that time, and this person didn't order a garland in advance, but he wanted a garland. So Dhaibhadev said, you have to make advance notice of the garland. You can't just get a garland like that. Sometimes there are garlands, but not all the time. So this person got upset, but apparently this person was actually getting money from not a good place, but he was giving the money to the temple. So you can see this is devotion service is a mode of ignorance, passion. Prabhupada allowed these things to happen in certain circumstances, emergencies, but not in general. I think in Canada, the temple was going to be, ISKCON temple was going to be, government was going to take it over. They were in debt, a lot of debt. And one devotee in Kampala, he owns a big business in East Africa. He got black money and saved the temple from, he saved it from the debt and got it back into ISKCON property like that. So certain circumstances, these things are allowed, but not in general. So Lord Kapila, there's a place called Ganga Sagara. His Kapila Ashram is there, and Lord Kapila took the tour of the Ganges. He took the beginning from where the Ganges begins, and he arrived at Bay of Bengal, I think that's Ganga Sagara. And he took a seat in the ocean there. The ocean gave him a place to stay. And he's still doing meditation there. So he has his own followers who worship him. Like he says, he has a Vaikuntha planet. And there's a story how the king in the... when King Prithu was doing the 100th throat sacrifice, Indra wasn't happy with that. And he was stealing the horse. And so I think coming down, the King Sagar, his sons, 60,000 of them, they were searching for that horse. So they dug the earth up. It's a big hole in the earth. And they found Lord Kapila doing meditation. And the horse was next to where Lord Kapila's ashram was, where he was doing meditation. So the 60,000 sons of Sagar, they were saying, let's kill him. Let's kill Kapila. Like that. So as they were running towards Lord Kapila, Lord Kapila just opened his eyes and they all got burnt up to ashes. So that shows Supreme Lord, he can do anything with any of his senses. And also this place, Ganga Sagara, there's a story I read in the Glories of Mother Ganges. This is a book of Glories of Mother Ganges. And in there it explains how interesting pastime. This is Rukmini's mother. Everyone knows Rukmini's father, Bhishmaka, but Rukmini's mother wasn't happy with King Bhishmaka for some reason. Maybe how... anyway, she went up with a demon and she went to this place, Ganga Sagara, and she left her body there with that demon. And then he said, anyone who leaves their body in this place enters Vaikuntha. So we can see the potency behind these places. From the external point of view, they may seem mundane from our mundane vision, but they have spiritual potency. So Lord Kapila also showed by his example how we should become detached from this world. So although Kardama Muni, he made a big aeroplane, like a big city with everything within it. He traveled all through the universe. And he said even the demigods, they were envious of him because his opulence was so much opulence was there. And Devahuti, they were flying in different, on the heavenly planets and enjoying the region where demigods enjoy and all these things. Mandara Mountain, and no humans can approach these places. He says even when the Pandavas went to the Himalayas, they went with Maitreya Rishi or one of the sages, and the sages were pointing out that in the Himalayas there are certain places where humans cannot enter. These places are covered with ice, snow, and no humans can enter these places. So Kardama Muni was enjoying in these higher realms of the heavenly planets, which cannot be approached by people in humans. They cannot approach these places. But even after all that, it explains how he renounced after he gave 9 daughters to Devahuti, then Lord Kapila came, then he renounced the world. So even Lord Kapila taught the same example. After he gave this teaching of Sankhya philosophy and devotion service, he renounced, he went to Ganga Sagar, and Devahuti meditated on Lord Kapila's instructions, and she entered the Vaikunth, the planet where Lord Kapila is. So, in the Purport, he speaks about how a living entity cannot fully understand Krishna fully. He can understand to some extent, but not fully. Because Krishna is unlimited. And the example is given just like the waves in the ocean. Krishna's expansion is like waves in the ocean. But it's only through devotional service that we can get to know Krishna. That's also the difference between the worship of demigods and worship of Krishna. To please the demigods, you have to do big sacrifices. But to please Krishna, he just wants your devotion. So it says in the Nectar Devotion is commented in, Prabhupada explains how when Krishna was on the planet 5,000 years back, all the sacrifices were done towards him. Well, during his pastimes, everything was towards pleasing him. And because of Krishna's pastimes, even the wives of demigods, they were attracted to Krishna more than to their husbands. Yeah, it is. So the husbands are not that happy. So this is why it says that demigods don't come to the earth so much now. But then, because of Lord Chaitanya's coming, now demigods are queuing to get mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because he's the Prema avatar, he's giving Krishna Prema to everyone. So this devotional service which is given in this verse, in other times it wasn't so easy to achieve. We can see the example, if you see the worship of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, it's very strict standards, how the pujaris go by their standard. Deity standards are very high there. Like, when the new deity of Jagannath comes, they fast for 20 days or something, and they look for the deity, and they take a vow that if they can't find the wood, then they'll enter the ocean and leave their bodies. So, compared to that, our vows are not so strict. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. And also in other sampradayas, they actually put tilak by like you do tattoos there, they actually do it like that, brushing. But Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. Because if we had that happening, how many would join the movement? So Lord Chaitanya, he is very merciful in that way, that he just wants everyone to chant the holy name. And that's also the difference between Krishna and the Vishnu avatars, that with the he says even Lord Vishnu only benefits his devotees. He just doesn't benefit everyone when he appears. But when Krishna comes, he benefits even the non-devotees. He makes even the non-devotees into devotees. So even Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna. The other aspect we can get from this is in other ages, the Yuga Dharma was more like deity worship, yoga, meditation, sacrifices. Although the holy name was present in all ages, but the pride was, people had too much pride and they could not take to chanting. But the holy name is present in all ages. He says even in Satyug, some people knew about the Gayatri Mantra concerning glorifying Lord Chaitanya, but not everyone accepted it. So we can see how opulence can actually deviate one on the path of spiritual life. Too much opulence can actually be impediment. And even now we see people who are rich in society, coming from rich background, you see they won't take to devotion service fully. They're too much attached to the opulence. Devotion service is like, the example is given like gold. If you sell real gold, you have to pay the price for it. If you give false gold, many people will come and buy it. So, pure devotion service, you have to pay the price for it. The devotion service with Lord Kapila or even Lord Krishna, there's regulatory principles behind that, very strict standards. But with Lord Chaitanya, he says, even if one is not pure, but he prays for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the purity will come very quickly. Because Lord Chaitanya is only looking for our eagerness to get the mercy. So, main thing is not to maintain duplicity. He says, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains one of his quotes on the holy name. He says, everyone is entitled to get the mercy of the holy name. The rich, the poor, the weak, the strong, intelligent, less intelligent. Everyone is entitled. But the duplicitous person cannot get the mercy. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, it explains, somewhere Prabhupada explains in the purport that devotion service is very easy, but people who are too much in the bodily conception of life, they find it difficult because they're not open for the mercy. They're too much into the bodily kind of understanding of how things should be. This is why in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked Krishna to show his opulences, how he's present in the material world through his opulences. Like all bodies, among all bodies, the ocean is one of Krishna's opulences. All bodies of water is the ocean. Among aquatics in the ocean is a shark. He goes to a whole list of different opulences, how Krishna is present in the material world. But this devotional service which we are asked to practice is very made easy for everyone in this age. The main thing in devotional service in the beginning is we have to understand through knowledge. Knowledge has to be there. By knowing Krishna's greatness, then surrender becomes easy. Then at some point when you're advanced enough, you get the higher taste, then it's easy to surrender. Some level of purity has to be there to surrender. So we have to be convinced that Krishna has six opulences to a limited degree. So wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, renunciation, fame. So, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanda ki jai, Gauritai ki jai, Shri Shri Sitar Bhaksamahman ki jai. So this, there was a story in this connection in the Chaitanya Bhagavata to show how merciful Lord Chaitanya is in his mercy to give Krishna prem to everyone. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, before manifesting himself, where he was preaching, giving Krishna prem to everyone, this is in Chaitanya Bhagavata explained in his unmanifest pastimes as a student. He was in logic and argument. So he used to defeat someone and then with that same argument he used to defeat the argument itself. So in this way he used to... So the devotees would run away from Lord Chaitanya and in my pandit they would run away from him. Even scholars, they would be afraid to debate with him because they know that they'll be defeated. I mean, just imagine you give an argument and the person defeats your argument, then he defeats the same argument himself. That could be quite humbling. So anyone who met Nimai Pandit would just run away. They wouldn't even stand in front of him. But within those pastimes, Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya did show how he is Krishna. So there was one pastime where there were some puppies near the river Ganges. And Nimai Pandit got one of the most beautiful puppy out of all of them. He took it to his house and he tied it up. And the students told Mother Sachi, they told Sachi Mata, who was Nimai's mother, they told her that Nimai Pandit put a puppy in your house. And Nimai Pandit was born in a Brahmin family. The Brahmins don't keep dogs and puppies in the houses. So Sachi Mata, she untied the puppy and this puppy was running down the road where the village was. And all of a sudden, a plane came down from Goloka and the puppy entered the plane and he attained his spiritual form, went back to Goloka Vrindavan. So all the demigods, they were praying to Lord Chaitanya, as you gave liberation to this puppy, give us the same liberation. So this shows, so he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Sri Krishna Chaitanya Doyokara Vichakari Chitpa Chamatkar. That if anyone wants to study logic in argument, I humbly request that you study the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and you see a wonderful result. The Lord Chaitanya is giving through his teachings, he's giving the highest blessings. He's just by accepting his teachings, we can achieve the highest goal. Perfection is there by accepting the teachings. The problem with modern day scholars and scientists and philosophers, they try and study the teachings in their own way. They take the stories to be mythology. They don't take it in the way it should be taken, in a way that we should meditate and go deep in thinking about the pastimes and like that. So it's important to hear from the proper authorities, the parampara. Parampara is there. And the teaching of the parampara never change. They stay as they are. Like, example is given, Krishna says, as the embodied soul passing from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul passing in the body at death. So we can see this has happened to everyone. That's never changed. So the same all the time. So the teachings are always the same, whether it's millions of years, thousands of years, at the present time, teachings always remain the same. With the modern days, scientists and philosophers, they give their own speculation and understanding on what the teachings are. And these, what they present as the teachings, they change every few years. So, so this devotional service can only be done in the association of pure devotees. The example is given, just like to live in the material world, someone is working outside, it's not like they can live with their own strength. They have to have people helping them around them. The same thing in devotional service, that one has to get mercy from those who are practicing around them. Then one can advance in spiritual life. So he says, to be dependent on anyone in this world is not auspicious, because when you're dealing with the material world, you're dealing with different people's karma. This world is based on karma. But to be dependent on the Supreme Lord is the most auspicious thing. So, the other aspect is also like, to please other people in this world is not so easy. Everyone's got different demands. But to please Krishna is very easy, because he just wants your devotion. So, this is why cultivating the knowledge of scriptures is important, and discussing the scriptures with devotees is important. And then, putting into practice also. So, Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path. So, we just have to learn to go deep in understanding who Krishna is and surrender to the whatever the devotees tell us in terms of services. We have to practice three things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarized. He says, Vaishnava Seva, serving Vaishnavas, Jiva Doya, helping the fallen souls, and Namaruchi, chanting the holy name. So if we do these three things, our path back to Godhead is open. So every day in everyone's devotional service, in the practice of Krishna consciousness, they should try and aim for these three things. And then by doing these three things, your vision will be more clear over time. Because he says, by serving those who are free from lust, one will also become free from lust. This is why during time of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he was did the Gaudiya Math, he got his devotees to serve 3 or 5 devotees every day. Like this, get the mercy, get purified. Okay, I'll stop here. Any comments or questions? Mike.
You're saying that if someone is duplicious and they can't get the mercy.
Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is saying, yeah. Bhaktisiddhanta. He's saying, yeah.
Thakur said this. So what does it mean by duplicious?
A duplicious means you say one thing and do another thing. You don't live by your words. Actions speak louder than words. You have to live by your words. You have to live the scripture.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Follow the self-realized souls. Follow their teachings.
Okay, thanks.
Isn't it? Because it says, you know, if you follow your mind, you'll become degraded. You follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, then your vision will become clear. Any other comments or questions?
Okay. Thank you for the class, Srinivas Prabhu. My question is if you think that people in this current day and age have too much wealth to chant the holy name.
There are some people who like that. There was an example, you know. This is Krish. He does house selling, right? So he was telling me a story. He met one rich man, you know. And he was telling him about the Bhagavad Gita, the benefits of Bhagavad Gita. And this man said, I don't think I need it at this time. So there are people out there like that. That they think. Prabhupada was also commenting in one of his lectures. He said, the rich people think, let's give money to these sadhus, they're poor, you know. We have to give them mercy. But they don't realize actually the sadhus are really benefiting them. There are people out there like that who think like that. These sadhus are like beggars. Let's give them some money. But they don't realize actually the devotees are benefiting them from going to hell. Because they have no respect for the line of parampara, they don't respect Krishna. They're more into their own wealth. But they don't realize even this wealth will be taken away at the time of death.
Thank you for a nice class. You also mentioned about how, you know, devotees utilizing their wealth, even if it's black wealth or black money, and it's given to charity, especially to temples and to Krishna's service also. Now, if certain organizations, if they get charity but they waste the charity or they waste the Lakshmi, is there any reaction for that? What type of reactions will they actually get?
Well, my understanding, Prabhupada was very careful when he got donations, right? When he didn't know where the donation was coming from, he would put in a deity box. Krishna can digest anything, but we can't. Well, this is it. Anyone who wastes money unnecessarily for wrong reasons, they'll get karma for it. We have to use money for Krishna's service. We get purified.
Even if, just to expand on that question, even if obviously temples now around the world, ISKCON temples, etc., other temples too, seemingly they're getting Lakshmi coming in through the donation or other means, but if it's seen, if it's wasteful or seem to be wasteful, they'll get karma for that, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Even within the Krishna consciousness movement.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Okay.
You have to be careful with money.
Exactly, yes. That's good, thank you for clarifying.
Hey, I think, any question?
Thank you for the class. You were saying how serving those who have no lust can help us eradicate our lust. Just wanted to know how that works. How does that?
Well, Prabhupada gave the example. If someone's got tuberculosis, yes, you take their food, you get tuberculosis also. Association is like that. Who we associate with, you take on that energy. So if you search someone who's got pure, who's pure without any motive, you get that mercy. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.